fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
Fuel, the podcast for fixing underperformance and evolving leadership within the automotive industry. Fuel is bringing you the latest in proven strategies and techniques that can take your service department to the next level.
Well, welcome back to another episode of the Fuel Podcast. I'm your host, Alex Keith, and here with me today, I got Mr. Brian Hildebrand. How you doing, brother?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hey, for the listeners, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and introduce yourself, who you are and how long you kind of been in the business.
So my name is Brian Hildebrand. I'm a parts and service director for Jaguar Land Rover Riverside. Started out in the business as a smog technician and worked at some independents, and then went to Mazda, and then eventually to Ford Lincoln Mazda, and then now with Jaguar Land Rover. And became a technician and then on to service manager, and now also working with parts.
Yeah, so you can relate to both sides of it, right?
Absolutely.
Just kind of wearing all kinds of different hats?
Yep.
Well, like one of the things, you know, in the industry, when I talk about people who come from the technician side, is sometimes they kind of get eye-opened as you become more immersed in working with and communicating with the actual customer. Now, did that something that you saw, like kind of was it easy transition, or was it something you kind of had to get used to a little bit more depth with on working directly with the customers more often?
Well, it definitely was a learning curve there. However, my dad owned his own shop when I was a kid. I spent a lot of time working in his independent shop, listening to him interact with customers and help doing that kind of in the summers and things like that before I really got into the workforce. So I did have a kind of a baseline with working with people. And I've always been pretty outgoing too. So moving from a technician into the drive wasn't too big of a deal. It's just more or less learning, you know, people's personalities and how to work with them on a daily. So.
Yeah. Now, as far as that aspect of it, one of the things that I had to learn a little bit too is kind of how that communication from the advisor level or from the write-up stage back to the technician and vice versa. You know, coming from being a technician and then going into, you know, communicating with it with customers and then back to technicians, did you kind of see where the communication breakdown could be? And did you find any ways of overcoming that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, coming from the technician side, you know, there's a lot of questions that as technicians, we hope the service advisors ask the customers. And if you've never really worked in the shop before, there sometimes get a little bit of a disconnect there between the customer and what the technician needs. And so having that experience working in the shop, knowing what kind of questions to ask to help aid our technicians, help save time, make the guys more proficient. And now, you know, obviously working with the advisors that I have, they're very experienced. However, some of them don't have shop experience. And,
yep.
Sometimes there has to be an extra phone call if we miss that information we need. So it definitely helps.
Yeah, I mean, I think like in our industry overall, the biggest thing between in the store, in the shop, you know, from the upper levels to the lower levels, and especially with the customer, communication's key, right?
Yeah.
Like we got to have that level of communication.
Yeah, one of the things that I think it's really benefited me, though, is working, you know, hand in hand with the technicians. I've got a real open door policy. And, you know, when they have issues with maybe they feel like they didn't get flagged correctly or, you know, I mean, this job should pay more. Dynatron really helps with that, too, because I'm able to look at some of the kind of comparators on some of the other stores that some of the other high end stores, you know, really in our area, things like that, to see what they pay for certain jobs. To reassess that and make sure we continue to have a good culture back in the shop. Obviously, if technicians are paid, that's the name of the game, right? I mean, if you want people to continue to work for you and have a good upbeat attitude to keep moving forward, making sure that they're getting flagged the right amount of time is really important. And so a lot of the communications between the technician and the advisor, I can kind of bridge that gap. If they have issues, they come into my office, we work it out. And sometimes I have the right answer for them. Sometimes they don't like my answer, but at least it's the truth. We treat everybody fairly. And we're very, you know, consistent in our approach to make sure we keep maintaining a really good culture back there.
Yeah. Say it ain't so. The technician disagrees with you from time to time? No way.
Yeah, you know, it happens. But we also do try to cater to those guys. I mean, they're obviously the bread and butter of our business. And they're so hard to find. As we know, you know, with all these recruiting agencies and things out there, Making sure you take care of those guys is number one to continue on having a successful service and parts business. So.
Well, I like what you said earlier. I mean, it's something that's consistently brought up, you know, in the Dynatron area too, as far as how we communicate with our customers is culture, you know, establishing a positive culture. 'Cause I mean, you know how it is. I mean, when an advisor's having a bad day or having a miff between whoever in the store, if a technician's having a rough day as well, and you may catch them on the lane or catch them around, you know, just not having a good day. I think that bleeds over into the customer experience. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. I mean, if you have, happy employees, you end up having the happy customers as well. And we live and breathe that culture every day, not only from the service and parts departments, but also our sales department. Our general manager is very involved with walking through the tech, walking through the shop, talking to technicians, talking to advisors, walking through the parts department and sales managers and all the basically all the managers in the store get together regularly and discuss issues that we have, try to get to the finish line all on the kind of the same page. So we've got really culture across the whole board, and we have a lunchroom that is everybody's invited to, so the entire dealership is in there eating lunch together and talking about things. And I worked at stores where it's very segregated, and they don't tend to have as good of a culture, so it works well for us.
No, I think that's a huge aspect. I mean, something that was pretty eye-opening was when I learned, I guess you could say the hard way, but I learned is everybody is the face of the dealership. How everybody interacts, you know, when they see you and they see that store or that dealership on your front of your chest. I mean, that's the interpretation from the customer about everything that's happening there. So the culture aspect of it, you know, and being able to, like you said, not segregate things, kind of bringing everybody together to get to the right finish line, I think is essential, you know, for being able to have that culture, but then also being able to promote that customer experience, no matter where they're at on your lot, whether in the front with sales, in the back with service, or even at the parts counter. So, you know, I would say if we are looking at that culture aspect, you know, because we've been beat up since like what, 2008, where they really started hammering on, hey, your dealership's trying to get you anything, any way they can get you. So when you're building that culture and you're talking to your team about the perception from the customer, you know, what would you say is some like key points that you would bring up in that kind of conversation with your team? Hey, this is how the customer is going to perceive you, and this is the kind of culture we need.
Well, sometimes we get past the reasons why we're trying to sell something, right? I mean, it's not just to try to collect money from customers, but we got to build the value in what we're trying to sell. And we do video inspections as well, and we also try to convey that message not only to the service advisors but also to the technicians. Hey, we're recommending this, and this is why we're recommending it, because it can cause a failure down the road or whatever the case may be, as opposed to just given that recommendation without a why. If we can build value, that the customers tend to be happier, spend more money, have the cars that are maintained better, have less failures in the long run, and probably save the customer money in the long run. So I just think building value is the key ingredient there. If they don't realize what the value is, it's going to get declined every time.
Right. I would say building value starts, like you said, at that core nature with your own team. Like you have to see value in it as an employee first, to clearly understand the why, and then that's going to bleed over into the customer experience. And I think one of the things, you know, we're striving for is overall like customer excellence. Like they know when they come into your store, regardless of what vehicle they have, you know, brand name and off brand, you know, some of that nature, they're going to get treated the same. You know, they're going to get recognized and treated the same. So, you know, when you were writing tickets and when you're even talking to your technicians and things like that, what is that first initial perception you want your team to give to a customer that comes into your drive or even calls in on the phone?
I mean, we're their advocate. We're here to help them. Want to help their car. Make sure their car stays maintained, and ultimately get a customer for life. We tend to, if customers are happy in the service department, they're a lot more likely to come back and buy a car from us too. So, I mean, it really, is important for this the partner service team to make sure we fulfill those commitments to the customer and then keep them coming back.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, I've said this before on a couple of podcasts, and it's pretty simple. We've got to drive on the same roads you do. You know, and so, and how much do you feel that your team grasps the concept this is a community that you're servicing instead of just an area, just a market, just a brand? Do you get a sense that in your store and in your culture you build that it is a sense of community of people's vehicles we work on and the value we bring to our customers?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's really really important to do that. And we even have community events where we offer customers to come in and tour our shop. And we buy lunch for everybody, and they're able to get the car up on the lift and actually go through the vehicle inspection with the technician if they have questions. Sometimes brands do that with like their car clubs and things like that. But we try to involve everybody that comes in and offer that to them. If they see that we're very transparent, it's a lot more they seem to be a lot more trusting and more likely to bring their car into us.
So let's touch on that. That's really cool. So you have any, is it an event where you say, hey, anybody who's wanting to come walk through the shop with us and be a part of this, is it kind of an event you put on? If I'd love for you to kind of just walk me through that.
Yeah, so we did one here last month actually, had on a Saturday, and we got a food truck to come in and offer lunch to everybody with refreshments, and we had the whole sales team here. We had a select few of our technicians. We had a couple of service advisors here. I was here. We had receptionists and give out a bunch of goodies to customers for coming in and thanking them for coming in. And then also offering them to speak to the technician that's actually working on their car. We just kind of set up for basic services or for just free inspections. If you want to get your car up in the air, take a look at it, kind of go over the car with the technician, and we can point some things out for them. We do that at no charge. And then some customers want to get a basic service done that day, which we do offer, do some pretty heavy discounts those days. But it's not really a day to make money. It's just about introducing ourselves to the customer, being transparent in the way that we do things, showing them our state-of-the-art facility, because we do have a really, really beautiful shop. So it's interesting to get customers in there and see that, we're not, I mean, it's sometimes cleaner than, some of the showrooms you see at other stores. So it's really nice to get people in there and show them what we're proud of. So.
So, I mean, how much has that benefited I say, you know, your stake in the community as far as customers, like you said, that transparency. Do you think that you've kind of seen over a period of time that's just strengthening that relationship, or was it kind of immediate once you started to do things like this?
Well, it's going to take time to grow that. We've only been open for a few years. Well, I take that back. We were originally a Jag store only, and then we added Land Rover a few years ago, opened a new building, and we've been just slowly but surely introducing ourselves to new Land Rover customers throughout the community. And it takes a little while to kind of get your get your bearings and advertise to these customers. But once they realize we're here, we've seen a lot of customer retention, customers coming back, and not only happy just because of the location, but I get a lot of good feedback about how great of a job we do compared to some of the other stores that they've taken their car to in the area, which is a good feeling to hear. We harp on our advisors to make sure that we provide that customer experience, but to hear the positive feedback from customers makes it all worth it.
That's huge, man. That's absolutely huge. I mean, because when you're hearing it come directly back from the customer, I mean, I think that's worth its weight in gold, right?
Absolutely.
So now, how much do your people, like your advisors and your technicians, how do they respond when they're hearing this feedback too, and they're being a part of this? Is it something that they're like, yeah, put me down. I want to be on that. Is it something they look to do, or they just say, like, I guess I'll come in and help you out?
You know what? We had amazing feedback from our employees. It was a really good time. We're going to continue to keep moving forward. At least once a quarter, we're going to do these events, and like I said, that the advisors and everybody involved loved it. Even the technicians, technicians tend to be introverts just in the industry because they're working in a shop. They don't want to deal with customers and stuff like that. But when you get them in that kind of atmosphere, it's funny to see how some of these guys really open up and really get the customers involved. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I could agree with that. I remember there's some guys that I was like, I didn't know that you spoke above a whisper. That's impressive.
Yeah.
So this is absolutely awesome because it kind of wraps back into, one of the focuses we keep talking about in our industry overall is really tying the customer to the experience and some of that customer excellence that we see, And so if you had to define, let's say you had to define it, you're defining customer excellence, right? What would you say is your interpretation of that?
I don't know. I mean, it's that's a tough one for me. I mean, we I guess just want to provide the customer the best experience we can, and some are easier to work with than others. But as long as we treat every customer the same way, I hope that we can continue to move the needle in the right direction with our community and with our customer clientele.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. That's how I would perceive it. Giving them the best experience possible. But you said something earlier that was really interesting too. It's like we're here to help you with your vehicle, right? And I think a lot of people get kind of strayed away from that as far as it being their vehicle. Sometimes, we get people that think it's their vehicle. Well, hold on now. But I like how you said that. I think if that aspect gets portrayed better with the culture. That this is a place where you come and bring your vehicle, and we are proficient in giving you the best options possible for your vehicle to keep it maintained. So, by safety measures, by performance measures, and things like that, and then being able to tie back into what exactly you're doing. This is a community aspect. Yeah, we're doing it for our certain reasons, but it's all tied back to community and bringing that experience to you guys. And I think what you're doing with bringing them and making them part of the process as well. I think that's absolutely huge, man. I hope more people are going to maybe listen to this and take that away from it and things of that nature. So, I mean, just these are really, really good points. And I think you hit it right on the head. If we were trying to define it, that's kind of where we're going with it. But if you're talking to, I don't know, talking to a manager for the first time, he's a new manager, right? He's coming to the store. He's looking at all these different things. You know how many things you got to look at. So he's looking at all these different things. If you're going to try to give him the first step, right? In developing that culture and in developing that customer experience, kind of where would you lead them?
Well, I gotta be honest with you, we don't really do that. We most of the management that's working here, we've kind of done one of two things. Either they've worked their way up from positions where we're able to kind of see their performance and see if they do mix with our culture before they become a manager,
Perfect.
or they do come from another store where, like for example, our general manager has brought some of his old people in that he knows will help develop that culture. I think just hiring somebody on as a part of your management team without really knowing the results ahead of time is tough. I mean, we want to make sure that we have the right team in place because when we hire somebody, we're hiring them for life. We don't want to take any chances. So we kind of follow a different approach with that, try to form them from within. And if we can continue to do that and continue to grow, hopefully, at some point, we'll have a lot more stores available and keep moving those guys up and able to develop a lot of these guys that start out as, sometimes they start out as porters and they become technicians and they want to get into the service drive and then, hopefully they want to be a manager someday. So we really try to start low, start them at a lower level and then work their way up and help develop them at, and have that employee become a lifelong employee.
Yeah. So basically it's already established with how you have it set up, right? I mean, you don't have to go too, like you said, too far into it. You've already got it established, So, one of the things I used to talk to people about, in the store and everything was, are you proud of this place to where you'd bring your wife or your mother's car in here if you didn't work here, with what they deal with, what you see and how you perceive that culture to the customers, how we take care of the customers. And if anybody ever hesitated and saying, absolutely, if anybody ever hesitated, then that was a direct, all right, we've got to have a conversation. I got to see what you're seeing, and we got to make an adjustment to this.
Yeah, I like that point. And we also we want to make sure that we're proud to come to work every day too. Creating a good culture and it makes it easier to get ourselves to work every morning and have a good upbeat attitude. Not only for the store but for themselves. So yeah, it's very important.
Fantastic. Well, Brian, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show today, man. It's been a pleasure working with you. You think you'll come back?
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty, brother. Well, this at the end of every single episode, what I love to do is give my guests the final say. So anything you kind of want to put out there, you know, to anybody who's listening to the show that's in the industry and that maybe not be in the industry, things of that nature, what do you got for me?
Having happy employees is have eventually having happy customers. You know, we just got to make sure that it really starts from the top at each store, and we got to cascade that down to all of our employees, and eventually that cascades down to our customers.
Beautiful. Kind of like that happy wife, happy life type thing. It's happy employees, happy life over here.
Yep, absolutely.
Perfect, brother. All right. Well, I appreciate your time today, man. This will wrap up an episode of this episode of the Fuel Podcast, and we'll talk to you next time.
All right, have a good one.
Thank you for joining another episode of the Fuel Podcast. Always be sure to like, follow, or subscribe to be notified when new episodes are being dropped, and click the link below to review any of the show notes for additional information. Or you can email the Fuel Podcast with the link, as we encourage any feedback or any questions or comments from our listeners. Until next time, I'm your host, Alex Keyes, with the Fuel Podcast for fixing underperformance and evolving leadership.